We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Malik Hall, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Ryan Webster. 2-2. Gonna go the fastball away. Not the location he wanted, but it worked out as Fielder swung and missed. 7 Ks for Dempster. Cubs win. Back-to-back shutouts to start this series as Ryan Dempster gets his 100th career win, number 50 as a Cub.
Heck, I remember when Ernie Banks was going for his milestone. Oh, my God, there's the pitch, and it's a base hit to right field.
Ryan Dempster.
Mulliott Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, yeah, a lot of fun there. Ryan Dempster is on the hotline now, the Circa Resort and Casino hotline in Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Ryan, of course, in Pittsburgh, calling games for Marquee Sports Network. Always a delight to hear him, to talk to him. Hey, Ryan, how are you this morning?
I'm great. That might be one of the better intros I think I've ever got.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon Fryer, take a bow. So, you know, we look at where the Cubs are at, and I think that we are uncertain as to how things go with young pitching, right? I think that's one of the big storylines that we're looking at this season is the guys that they imagined who would be the starters, who would be the rotation – have kind of shifted and changed a little bit. And we're seeing a couple of rookies come up and kind of forced into action. We're seeing a couple of young pitchers doing pretty well. Certainly yesterday you witnessed a great performance and one that that helped Keegan Thompson kind of get off the schneid a little bit and reinforced how good he is. What are your thoughts when you look at this starting rotation, Ryan?
Yeah, like you said, you're having, you know, guys pitch out of necessity, injuries to Stroman and Miley, and you lose Drew Smyly, and you lose out of spring training Adbert Alzolay. So you're automatically, you know, going down that depth chart, and with that becomes inexperience. But the only way to get experience is to actually get out there. And so you see a couple good arms that come up, and maybe not the success they want, right? So then it comes down to approach, and that's where you just got to continue to learn. And you know, speaking of the guy last night, I mean, Keegan Thompson started the year incredible, just absolutely dealing, throwing the ball great, hits a little bump in the road on the East Coast road trip, Baltimore, New York, and then gets back to himself against Atlanta, and then last night, fabulous again, and just did a great job of engaging with the hitters and going out there, attacking them with the four-seam fastball. Sometimes we get so caught up in, you know, what the data says of swing paths, and then we got to throw this breaking ball, this guy. Let's find out if they can hit my fastball first. And that's what Keegan did last time out. It's what he did last night. And it's just fun to watch. So there's going to be some bumps and bruises when you have young pitching. That's always the case, no matter what team. There's very few Tim Lincecums or Clayton Kershaws that come up. And even those guys, their first year up, struggle a little bit, and then all of a sudden they get locked in. So it's a good chance to find out what you have going forward.
And to find that out, Ryan, sometimes there's a debate over the best path and the best way to handle a young pitcher with promise. Caleb Killian is the latest example with the Cubs. He was sent down this week after three pretty shaky outings. He showed some good things early on, the poise and then the lack of command and the fact that he maybe was not it seemed a little bit overwhelmed by the moment at times in Pittsburgh and in just overall those three starts. What would you recommend, and what do you think about the way this is being handled? Is he better to stay up with the Cubs and to take his lumps and to learn on the job, if you will, or is he better off going back to Iowa to try to gain some confidence that he seems to have lost?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting confidence is huge. That's the name of the game when you're pitching and playing any sport in general, is just having confidence. So, obviously, getting a reset down there where you can get back on track. And you know, for him, I just trusting your stuff, throwing it over the plate. Sometimes when we come up from the minor leagues to the big leagues, we feel like we need to do something different, right? Something better. When the reality is what we were doing down there is the reason you get called up to the big leagues. And so you got to go out there and trust that your stuff played. Find out. You know, that's the easiest way. It's the hardest thing to do is to find out, does my stuff play in the strike zone? Where do I have to attack these guys? Can I throw some guys, you know, half the plate? Can I throw some guys on a third of the plate? Or some guys I have to hit on the corners because they're that good at hitters. So it just becomes a kind of an evolution of yourself and understanding that. And, you know, I know they have a plan in place, but at the same time, learning on the job is great, but you can't just go out there and kick your, you know, get your butt kicked every night. You gotta have some results in order to reinforce some sort of positive stuff. And so I'm sure that's the reason he gets sent down. But he'll be back, and hopefully he'll learn from what he had up here at the big league level, take it down there, reinforce those good things that he does, and then find himself back up in the big leagues to stay.
You know, you never got a chance to visit the pitch lab. What does the pitch lab do for guys? And, you know, some of the stuff that we saw in the offseason looked spectacular. Do you feel like you missed an opportunity, or are you glad you didn't get overloaded with all that information?
Yeah, I'm partially glad I didn't get overloaded. I think sometimes it can be very, very helpful. And I think sometimes you can get a little bit of paralysis by analysis. And, you know, I think, you know, having the ability to have all that stuff at your fingertips or, you know, at your eyeballs any second, any time is good in a sense. But it's sometimes the best data you can have is your, you know, your eyes out there when you're pitching. And, you know, like, you can go out there someday. I remember there was a game a couple years ago, Kyle Hendricks pitched against the St. Louis Cardinals, right? And Kyle Hendricks threw it, they called the Greg Maddux game. It was like 81-pitch complete game shutout. And Kyle wasn't, if you look at the tape, it wasn't that he was particularly sharp. He just fed off of what the hitters were telling him. The Cardinals had a late game in Washington. They had a rain delay. They didn't get in until really late. And it was a day game the next day at Wrigley. And he was just challenging them one after another. Fastball, a lot of fastballs. A lot of them were, you know, middle of the plate. They were tired. They're popping them up. Sometimes we give hitters too much credit, and we don't find out for ourselves what they can hit and can't hit. We want to do them favors instead of just challenging them. So I think all the pitch lab stuff is awesome. It can teach you shape of breaking balls. It can teach you spin on pitches, and you can see things and reinforce those things. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, like, what can you execute out there, and what's happening in today's game. And this is a classic point. Night game last night, day game today, guys might be tired. All that information might play differently just because of the elements of today, and that's the one thing that we can't measure in data.
Ryan, enjoying your work in the booth in Pittsburgh with Boog, and I think that enjoyed the story the other night you told about visiting Wilson Contreras and pitching to the Cubs double-A team. I think it was Biloxi, Mississippi. You were there, and you remembered the impression Wilson Contreras made you on you that night, and you predicted he would be, you know, a major leaguer sooner rather than later. And when you look at Wilson Contreras, everybody in Chicago knows what they appreciate about him. The question now, what it is going to be, you know, of him moving forward? How long will the Cubs keep him? My question to you would be, you've seen guys and you've played with guys probably who age very well. And Wilson Contreras, a catcher, he's 30 years old. After that birthday, sometimes it doesn't go the right way for catchers. But what about Wilson Contreras informs you to, like, what will his 30s be like for him, a player like that?
Yeah, well, I just look at the way he's built. You know, I mean, this isn't, you know, body-wise doesn't concern me because he's so solid. I mean, he's just, you know, he works so hard. He's got tree trunks for legs. This guy is a physical specimen. But there's always that concern. The nice part that we have now for a team predicting that or trying to figure out what it's going to look like down the road is the DH, the full-time DH. He's already played, you know, in this many games, he started at catcher 21 times less than he did last year at this point, let alone the whole entire season. So you're able to keep guys a lot more fresh. You can do that kind of stuff. But he's the kind of guy to me that, you know, I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. But you just never know, right? Age is always a factor and has become a big factor with teams now when they're signing players. There's always that concern. But we're seeing what he's doing out on the field with the bat and his ability with, you know, what he can do behind the plate to catch and throw and block balls and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a top two or three catcher in all of baseball, and he's showing that day in and day out on the field, and he's going to find himself rewarded handsomely after the season, whether it's here in Chicago, hopefully, or, you know, somewhere else, you know, in the league. Somebody's going to want that type of player because of his pedigree and what he can do.
What did you think of seeing David Robertson get to the plate for the first time in his career? And it, you know what was great about it is I think everybody like ran to the top of the dugout. Everybody was at the rail. Everybody was watching. It was just the game had kind of, you know, the Cubs had clearly won the game, but that got everyone interested.
Yeah, you know what? I actually was talking to somebody, Jason Stark, about the pitchers pitching thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had this thought that if our position players are going to pitch, then they should have relievers for the other team hit. And this happened last night, and I was super pumped because I know Robbie really well, and you know, been playing against him for years, and to see him get that opportunity, I think he was the fourth most games all time without an at-bat going into that, and he gets a chance to go up there. And I loved it. I'm going to have to talk to him about the fact that he missed that 1-0 pitch down the middle, but he can get that back. Well, he'll never get that back. But, you know, the fact that he was 3-2 and his comment, I'm not taken there. He's not up there to try and walk. He's not worried about his OPS, his on-base percentage. He's up there to swing, and it was out of the zone. But it was just, you know, it made for what was a game that got away, and, you know, you're just waiting for it to end to something kind of fun and exciting to talk about. And for him, a memory for the rest of his life, right? Like, very few guys ever get to do that. I always dreamed I would get to play right field for an inning, and, you know, I never got that. And for him that to be able to do that was pretty cool.
The blowout also gave you guys time to reminisce. I didn't realize, Demp, that you were in the middle of the Paul Wilson, Kyle Farnsworth melee, and you were a member of the Reds and actually had to be pulled off by Dusty Baker, if I recall the story correctly. And so what do you remember about that? And what do you make of what Kyle Farnsworth looks like these days?
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me he looks like that these days. If Kyle puts his mind to weightlifting, I've seen it in person. It's pretty impressive, but you know, there was nothing really going on. Like, it's not like we didn't like the Cubs. The Cubs didn't like us at the time, but it wasn't like we were throwing at each other all over the place. So it kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, Willie and Paul had been struggling a little bit, and then he just kind of did a pitch, and next thing you know, he chirps at Farnsy, and then the rare pitcher charging the home plate. You just don't see that. And he did not get a punch in. He didn't get much in. Paul really lost that matchup. And the best part was after on the bus ride afterwards was him looking like, you know, he got attacked by a weed whacker. He had scratches and claws all over his face and blood pouring everywhere. And he's just looking at Kent Merker, and I saying, did I get anything in? Did I get any punches in? And we were just laughing. We were like, no, man, you got nothing in. You absolutely got work. But, hey, man, you know what you got? You got a ton of respect from all your teammates because we all love the fact that you weren't afraid right there. Good for you.
All right. So tonight we got the battle. Today we got the battle of the left-handers, future and former, obviously Justin Steele, against Jose Quintana. We like Jose Quintana, nice guy. We like Justin Steele to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a good matchup for Justin Steele. I think, you know, what he's done in his past couple starts and, you know, some of the advice he got in a lucky phone call from John Lester to David Ross, just, you know, a lot of the similarities of how they would pitch that fastball four-seamer in on the righties and cutting it, you know, or sliding it down and in, and this guy's a workhorse, and you know he's along the lines of the guy we saw last night, just from the other side. He's not afraid to go after guys. He's not afraid to challenge guys, and he's going to have his hands full. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But you know, when you got a good young team, a bunch of young players, Pittsburgh has a bunch of young players. You're not setting too many guys up. You're just trying to go to attack weaknesses right away. They're going to be aggressive, and he's got to use that aggressiveness against them. And you know, I think you're going to see a lot of sliders down and in. I predict he's going to strike out a lot of guys today.
You mentioned some of those young players, Demp, about the Pirates. O'Neill Cruz comes up. He's exciting. You look at Ke'Bryan Hayes. You look at Jack Sawinski. This is a team that has some interesting prospects. Have the Pirates, are they onto something, or are they going to do what the Pirates have traditionally
sell
done
everyone.
The last 20 years? Yeah, get rid of everybody.
Yeah, that's always the question, right? They it's been the first time that they've had an influx of talent, and how do you go about using that? Do you use some of those pieces to trade for guys because you're not big free agent spenders? I don't know. They definitely are going to have to figure that out. But watching some of these young players that they brought up, you know, with Bly Madris and O'Neill Cruz and Sawinski, and like you mentioned, the guys you mentioned, and some of the arms that they have too. So it's just a matter of matching all that talent up, and then you need pitching. Listen, we can have all the position players in the world you want. You can have all the offense in the world you want. Go down the list. The teams that win it at the end of the year, they're the ones with the teams that are in the World Series have the best pitching and the best starting pitching and the best relievers. And the teams that win it all usually have the best starting pitching, I mean, 95% of the time. That's just the fact. So you can score a bunch of runs, but good pitching is always going to beat good hitting, and that's just the way it is.
Ryan, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Have a fun call today.
Thanks, Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. You bet.
That is Ryan Dempster, Marquee Sports Network. And we should tell you that it is draft day, by the way, the NBA draft today. And, my God, tune in tonight. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington, they host the Scores NBA Draft Special. It starts at 6 o'clock. They'll be breaking down the draft from a Bulls perspective until 10. Gabe Ramirez will then be on from 10 to midnight, reacting, getting your reaction to the NBA draft. It's all on your home of Chicago Bulls basketball, 670 The Score. You can find it on the Odyssey app. And the Scores NBA Draft Special is brought to you in part by Bet Rivers, Tastyworks, Lakeshore Recycling Systems, Horizon Therapeutics, BetMGM, Duncan, and Great Lakes Credit Union. So you know it's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, let's come back and talk about what some of those options are and how today may go around the league based on what other trades might be made.
All right, it's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I take a lot of different pieces from a lot of different players. Like Draymond, just by his mentality and how he passes the ball, facilitates it. Offensively, I like watching Paul Millsap. P.J. Tucker, you can see on the defense end because he's only like 6'4", big guards, everyone. Grant Williams right now, he came into a role, a really important piece on the Celtics team. So just different guys like that, just taking them pieces out of their game and putting them in mine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's E.J. Liddell. He was on yesterday with Parkins and Spiegel, and he was asked who he models his game after. And those are some good names.
Good answer.
Yeah.
A little bit of all of those guys would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of him being positionless is intriguing. It's today's NBA. And so, hypothetically speaking, the Bulls take him. They stay at 18. Add him to the mix. I don't know that that's a championship team. I don't know if that's a team that's going to be, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Be fun to watch. I think E.J. Liddell would be a nice addition. He's going to be a pro for a while, you sense, because he is going to be – comes into the league mature, 22 years old. Got some area connections. Got some local connections with his mom being a former volleyball player from Thornwood, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Also Illinois State. His dad might have played football at Illinois State, I think. He told the guys yesterday afternoon that he was thought he would end up in the NFL one day, but because he was a little bit
tight end.
Maybe had that size growing up, and he thought that was going to be the direction he went. And then he kind of just became this great basketball player, natural ability, and the pride of Belleville, Mr. Basketball in Illinois, state championship.
Boy, they recruited him heavily to the U of I, and they were peeved that he didn't go there.
Well, you would be too.
I mean, I'm not peeved with anyone.
You can imagine you have somebody like that in your backyard.
In your state. And now he's against you.
Yeah, and now you have to face him, you know, at least twice a year at The Ohio State University. So,
do you think they make the pick? Do you believe at this point, David? I mean, I know we've had the discussion of what we want.
Yep.
But well, I'm curious, do you believe that the player taken at 18 ends up with the Bulls?
I do. I think that's the way that's going to go. I do think that Chuck Swirsky made a good point. Casey Johnson has reinforced it. And I think when you watch the Bulls and you pay attention, this is an organization that has said publicly that they want to embrace continuity. They want to see what this core will max out at when healthy. And that's the one thing that I think will prevent them from making that bold move that I would love to see them make. Look, as he said when he came in there this morning at 5:30, I've got the piece of paper like draft day and Sonny Weaver Jr., Rudy Gobert no matter what. And I think that would be the way I would want them to go and the way I would love to see them go. But I just don't think it's the way they're going to go. I think it's going to be more safe, more solid, and they're going to draft somebody at 18 that becomes a rotational piece, and they'll go into free agency to try to get their rim protector.
I'm very curious, honestly. I want to watch the top of the draft, and then obviously I want to see if the Bulls make any moves or trade anybody or improve themselves to a point that is unexpected. And there's part of me that is praying for some kind of impact move
chaos
today. Well, I mean, you know, I'm a chaos merchant.
Well,
but I want the Bulls to be better when we get in here tomorrow than basically the same with a little.
You want them to do something that changes the core, because when you draft at 18, you don't significantly alter your foundation. You add to it and you complement it and you find things that you don't have currently. Maybe it's a three-pointer three-point shooter like Dustin has been clamoring for. Maybe it's a rim protector, but it's going to be somebody that is going to be a project.
I just think that I don't mind a project-type player. I just want them – I think I don't want Vooch to get a contract extension. How's that? I don't know that I want to see him play next year. Now, you know, you could argue he had an off year. He's been an all-star before, two-time all-star. But you don't seem to feature him in the way that would help him to make it to an all-star game. And I see far too much of him shooting the three. Maybe that's because they don't have that three-point shooter. I don't know. Maybe they don't have enough support next to him at the power forward position. That's been a problem. But I don't know that I want to see that lack of interior defense.
Well, it's because, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that because you don't see the Bulls winning a championship with Vooch as your center.
I don't.
And I think that's a common perception, and that's where we are. See, the priorities shift and change as you get better and improve. So 2 years ago, or you know, when they traded for Vooch and they gave up what they gave up, Wendell Carter Jr. and the draft picks, it was to achieve respectability. That's, you were starting at ground zero. But now, you know, the expectations have changed. Now you could justify, you know, trading him and trying to upgrade. Because if he comes back, I think you do put an artificial ceiling on next season. Whereas if you go and you make the bold trade and you get Rudy Gobert, and maybe even if it costs you a Patrick Williams, I think you come to training camp in September, or you wake up tomorrow morning and you think anything's possible.
Yes. Yes. I don't think that they're going to win as currently constituted. Now, that's probably unfair because I'm disregarding the idea that if Lonzo Ball were to have stayed healthy last year, who knows where they would have ended up. They were, you know, sitting at the number one spot, the number one seed for a long time, certainly unexpectedly. And then once the injury wave hit and Ball never came back, once that happened, they started falling pretty far, and you wondered if they were even going to make the playoffs. And then they got in, they won a game, but that wasn't nearly enough.
Oversimplifying it, what were they without Patrick Williams when he was injured? They were the number one seed.
That's right.
They played at a level that you could envision them competing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Patrick Williams comes back and they lose Lonzo Ball. What were they without Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams? I know that's not fair necessarily, but I do think what my point is that you still could achieve a lot of things if you sacrifice a Patrick Williams for the good of, in the name of winning now.
Yeah, I don't know what Patrick Williams is. I don't know how good he can be. You know, we saw one game where he was the featured player and he played well. I don't know that there's going to be a consistency to that. I'm just not sure. I think he can defend a lot of different positions. I find him an intriguing player. I get it. He's not like an NBA superstar in waiting. He doesn't appear to be. But my fear is with Lonzo Ball, you're paying him a lot of money. You're not paying a ton of money to Patrick Williams, right? So, you know, he's the number four overall pick. He's making a good living, but he's a young guy, and we don't know where that ceiling is, and we don't know where the floor is, and all those ridiculous draft analysis that we talk about. I think that he can help you a lot. I know that Lonzo Ball can run a team, and he can defend, and he can knock down a three. I know he helps you a ton because he controls pace of play.
It's the difference between what you know and what you hope for. And I don't like to see organizations, and it happens all the time in sports, but paralyzed by potential. And I think the potential of Patrick Williams is going to be the reason why maybe they don't make any deal for Rudy Gobert. Or maybe they just can't come to an agreement with the Jazz, who might not be motivated to trade him. We don't know some of those factors. But if you start with the premise to be able to get to that point of the discussion where you are willing to make a deal and they're willing to talk to you, are you willing to trade the former number four overall pick, who's 20 years old, and Patrick Williams, who still has a tremendous career ahead of him, potentially?
Yeah,
potentially.
I don't know if I am. I honestly, I don't know if they are. And I think that, you know, I think it's an easy move to trade Vooch, and it would be an easy move to throw in who else would be a part of that deal. Coby White, you know, Io, if it took it, whatever. I think the only guys I wouldn't trade, I wouldn't do a sign and trade with Zach LaVine. I think you need him to score. I think DeMar DeRozan, I don't think he can trade DeMar. I think that you probably, I'd hang on to Alex Caruso, even though I'm sure he's an attractive property out there because he can do a lot of different things and he plays his rear end off. But you know, there's not a ton of guys. I mean, I would trade Vooch. I would not want to trade Patrick Williams, but I'd probably be willing to. But there's other guys I'd try to trade first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think you look around the league and you see what is working for teams and what is the profile of the player that, you know, is untouchable, if you will. And Patrick Williams, certainly to the two-way player, you know, can you win a championship can you envision the Bulls winning a championship with him as your best player? Can he ever develop into being your best player on a championship team? It's a long way away. And you can't ignore the fact. And the reason I feel like I would be more willing to do that and be more willing to part with somebody like that than I would be ordinarily is because of the age of some of your other foundational pieces and players. Lonzo Ball's health situation. Maybe you have to take advantage of the next 2 years. DeMar DeRozan, you have to take advantage of the next 2 years. You look at the window opening and it's not going to stay open for more than a couple of years if you identify that as your championship window, if you will. So that's why I would be more inclined. But, you know, is it going to be a crazy day around the league? Because you can already look at the Twitter machine and see, you know, the Hawks talking to the Jazz, and you see the Knicks are getting involved with trade talks, and there's all sorts of speculation and rumors, and you wonder about how that affects what the Bulls are going to want to do.
And we should let you know, you should tune in tonight. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington are going to host the Scores NBA Draft Special. That starts at 6. They'll be breaking down the draft from a completely Bulls perspective, and that's really all we care about. Who are we kidding? They'll do that until 10. Gabe Ramirez will then be on from 10 to midnight reacting to the draft and taking all of your calls. It's all on your home for Chicago Bulls basketball, 670 The Score. And, of course, you can find us on the Odyssey app. The Scores NBA Draft Special brought to you in part by Bet Rivers, Tastyworks, Lakeshore Recycling Systems, Horizon Therapeutics, BetMGM, Duncan, and Great Lakes Credit Union. It takes a village to cover the draft.
Well, there's going to be a lot of things happening. I wonder, obviously, I'm curious who's going to go number one. I think that there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of things. I'm curious about where Holmgren goes. But the first five picks, my biggest interest is where Jaden Ivey ends up. I want to know, will he jump into the top three? Will he go to Houston? Will he be, you know, buried in Sacramento? Or where will he end up? And will he be on a team that ends up being, you know, in the same conference as the Bulls, and you see a lot of Jaden Ivey moving forward as an opponent for the Bulls?
Yeah, and I think there are specific players I'm interested in. Jalen Durant from Memphis, he's 18 years old. He'll probably be long gone before the Bulls pick. We've heard Johnny Davis mentioned. I can't imagine that he falls that far. I would be surprised if he did.
The commercial says he's going really high.
Yeah. Mark Williams is the 7-foot center from Duke, another 20-year-old guy who would be great because he can defend the rim. We know EJ Liddell. We heard him yesterday. Is Blake Wesley going to make it down there? Is he
in New York?
So that means
he got invited to the green room. Talked to his dad yesterday, Derek Wesley. They are there. They're ready. They're excited, and they think that he could be a top 15 pick.
Okay.
And if
he
still,
if he fell to 18?
Well, the Bulls are in play. I mean, there are two sides to every story, right?
Sure.
The Bulls are never going to reveal how much they like a guy like Blake Wesley,
yes.
But I can tell you that Blake Wesley and his camp, the Bulls are one of those teams where they're very curious about where he fits.
19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Coming out of Notre Dame.
South Bend kid. The dad's got a good
explosive
profile.
Athlete.
Yeah, I mean, see, you could get excited about that. Even though from a basketball perspective, EJ Liddell might make more sense, and you could figure out Mark Williams maybe makes more sense. But the idea of Blake Wesley in Chicago would be fun.
If the Bulls come out of this draft with the two kids from South Bend, I think I'd be really happy.
I think that if you got Jaden Ivey and Blake Wesley in this draft, absolutely. This is a 5-7-4 celebration.
All right. We are all about celebrating. We're going to do that with Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. We're going to talk draft. We're going to talk fun. We're going to talk about the no-hustle White Sox. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.